Hello, good evening, all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 29th March 2022. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this Dhamma Flower Sutta. Miao Wonderful Dhamma Flower Sutta. So the new version, I think there's some slight difference in the way they arrange it. So I only got volume one. So now go to volume two. I think it is also a bit mixed up, but we will see how it goes. I have found a page. Those who are using the hard copy, the old version, is volume two. I think cover quite a lot of what we have covered earlier on. So I realize we are at page 180. After page 180 only we continue, so we see how it goes. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Then as usual, we'll off the light and you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the line. I will set the alarm for half an hour. So remember to develop the understanding of how to develop this awareness-based meditation. It will help you to progress. First, you have to understand awareness-based meditation is to help us develop the awareness within. What is awareness? Awareness is the mind that is just aware without thought. That is awareness. When it's aware, the aggregates of mind are not there. The sankhara activity are not there. There is no thought, no thinking, nothing. It's just that nature which is aware. So to develop that mind is very easy and simple if you understand. The key to understanding awareness is we can only do as a human being one thing at a time. Either we are aware without thought, or we are lost in thought, creating thinking, preoccupied with what we are thinking. So knowing this, you should be able to appreciate why I teach you the four support to develop this awareness-based meditation. First support is to relax completely body and mind. So when you are relaxed, you are at ease, you no need to think because there is nothing troubling you. No tension, no test, no tightness, no stress within. You relax and maintain awareness. So the second support of maintaining awareness is not so easy and straightforward. But because we already knew, like I explained just now, human being can only do one thing at a time. Either we are without thought, aware, within the moment, or we are lost in thought. So to develop this awareness-based meditation, we need to relax and maintain awareness so that we don't think. But initially, you can't because most people don't have the spiritual faculty. They instead has a lot of mental hindrance. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. And mental hindrance are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why people cannot meditate. When they sit, they think a lot. And when they think a lot, they cannot settle down. They try to develop various type of method and technique to focus the mind or to calm the mind, to make the mind peaceful. But they didn't know the mind naturally when it was without thought is already the stillness, the silence. That is your true mind. It's just an awareness nature within. So understand that. That is very easy to develop. So you relax, then maintain awareness means don't think. Whatever arise, let it arise. If thought arise, let it arise. Tactile consciousness arise, let it arise. Whatever sense thought, activity, when the sense data imprint onto our sense basis, it will trigger off sense thought consciousness. Then your mind will go and perceive it and create thinking. So observe this. Using your awareness, your silent mind, to develop the understanding of the thought process of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. So if you can understand this, then it's easy to develop this type of meditation. Then after that, the third support is sustain the awareness. Means stabilize the awareness. Means maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Initially, it's within your waking moment. Then later on, when you are skillful, you can even be aware when your body is resting. Or when you are physically resting, sleeping. People call it sleeping. But there is awareness within to follow the subconscious and the unconscious movement or release within. The awareness nature is fully aware. This one very few people can do. You can develop it means you have stabilized your awareness nature within. And when you are with your awareness nature, you are with your true mind. You will develop a lot of clarity and understanding that there is the meditative mind. There is the mind that can see things as they are, insight into phenomena to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And when you awaken to these three universal characteristics, you will understand nature, phenomena, and truth profoundly. Because of the universal characteristic, you awaken. You are no longer deluded and deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness, phenomenal world of external form, by the form and mind. So all this is what awareness-based meditation can give rise to. So those who are following the hard copy, the old book, if you are using it, you have to turn to page 180, where it will connect back to where we stopped. Because we finished the introduction part, where all the beings that attended the lotus, wonderful lotus flower sutra, they were all there. And with their retinue of followers, it was all properly described there. So now we are continuing from where we stopped. After that, then there is this sharing. Okay, the sutra say, at that time the world honored one. So here the world honored one is Sakyamuni Buddha. Having been circumambulated by the fourfold assembly. So all those who attend, they are the fourfold assembly. Presented with offerings, honored, venerated, and praised. And there is this outline where they will take us across. So specific explanation of roots and branches of the sutras. B1, branches division. opening provisional to reveal the real from here up to and including chapter 14. This is just an outline. Then they move on to C1, introduction section from here to end of chapter 1. So this one I think we have covered. Then now we are at D1, gathering of assembly. Okay. Bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasikas, upasakas are the fourfold assembly of disciples. So for simplicity, they subdivide them into just the bhikkhus, the bhikkhunis, then the upasakas and the upasikas. That's why they call them the fourfold assembly of disciples of Sakyamuni Buddha. It may also be said they are the initiating assembly, the interlocutory assembly, the influential assembly, and the assembly which creates affinity. So bhikkhus are men or male who have left home, and bhikkhunis are women who have left home. They are the first two assemblies of left home disciples. Then upasakas are male lay people. They are not monks. Then upasikas are female lay people. They are not nuns. Together, they make up the two assemblies of those at home, or the ladies. These are the fourfold assembly of disciples. Upasaka and upasikas are Sanskrit words, which means men who draw near and serve, and women who draw near and serve, respectively. They draw near to the monasteries and the temples and the Triple Gem to aid and assist them in their affair. They make up the two outer assemblies, the Dhamma protectors. Actually, I will have to explain a little bit. You see, the Sangha that the Buddha Sakyamuni created at that time was unique, because he followed his, they call the alms bowl tradition, where the monks are not supposed to work. They are not supposed to go into society to have a career or live like normally people. They are supposed to be very dedicated monks who has decided to go for and receive the ordination, then keep the monks' precepts and cultivate accordingly. But their food, shelter, and sustenance are supported by the ladies, the lay devotees. So it's meant as a synergy. And at the same time, the Buddha actually had this understanding, because to be a true monk or nun, bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, you have to be worthy of support, worthy of offering. So when you have really sincerely cultivated and developed the virtue and the understanding, then you are worthy of support. You are worthy of reverential salutation by the ladies. So just now I was trying to explain between the ladies and the Sangha. So it is based on established setup by Sakyamuni Buddha to develop synergy between the Sangha and the ladies. So the Sangha need to be sincere and cultivate sincerely diligently, so that they are worthy of the four things, the four requisites, means their support. Of course, the first one is worthy of respect, worthy of offering, and worthy of give medication, medicine, and whatever requisite that they need for their daily use. Then, on top of that, the ladies, when they make such offering, is a great field of merit, where they are worthy of offerings and all those things. And in return, the monks usually will teach them the Dhamma, share with them the Dhamma. So this is a very important synergy. Then the lay people will help out in the temple, like the cleaning out of the temple, then getting ready the whatever hall for activity, the more activity. Then they also have their annual celebration. They got the Visakh day, they got ordination day, and they got a lot of other things. Sometimes it's events or night chanting and all those things. And they also help to raise funds for the support of the Sangha. And there are a lot of other activity that forms the support system. And just now I was also mentioned Dhamma protectors. So lay people are also part of the Dhamma protectors, because not only the devas or the deities, lay people are also the same. They actually help in the recording, translation, then documentation, and edit, do whatever that is needed before it's being sent for printing, the hard copy. So nowadays there are also soft copy using internet skill, computers. So all these are the synergy. That's why they divide it into the fourfold assembly of Bhikkhu Bhikkhuni. The first twofold, these are the Sangha members. Then they have the lay people, Upasika and Upasakas. So the male and the female supporting the Sangha. So these are the fourfold assembly. And the other lay people who are just maybe they call it Buddhist devotees. Some may be active when they come to temple. They can actually be part of the Upasika and Upasaka. But Upasika and Upasaka, they're supposed to take what we call the five precepts or the eight precepts, or some they take the 10 precepts. It depends. So all this is what the tradition of Sakyamuni is all about. That's why he has his tradition. He set up the Sangha in this way, and based on his understanding of many, many past civilizations, also past what they call Sammasambuddha's arising, the way they develop all this may vary. This Sangha and lay people's way is one of the best. In fact, the Buddha did under one of the sutta, I forgot one, what sutta already, explained to Sariputta and his other disciple why he chose this tradition. Because it seems if you have this tradition, the Dhamma, the sasana, will stay longer. That's why it was predicted that this sasana or Sakyamuni, by setting up this tradition, is so supposed to last for 5,000 years. 5,000 years is very, very good and sufficiently long. Mm. The other one is because of the bhikkhuni order. Because initially, the Buddha was reluctant to allow the bhikkhuni order to be like officially recognized or set up. Yes, according to his understanding from past, the sasana will be shortened by 500 years. And 500 years is about 1/10 of the sasana, which is to the Buddha is very effective and good period. Mm. But because of certain important reason or circumstances at that time, the Buddha finally consented, because the one that led the bhikkhuni order was the mother-in-law, Mahapajapati, I think. Step-mother, or the sister of the mother of Sakyamuni, because the mother passed away within a week or so after Sakyamuni, Buddha or Gautama was, Siddhartha Gautama was born. And the sister take over the role and raise him, and he became the stepmother. And after that, they also have this what they call I think that time, if I'm not wrong, he was already married early on. Then the wife whom he didn't meet for almost 6 to 7 years after he left the palace and in search for true renunciation, she was also one of the bhikkhuni that wanted the ordination. So the other one is the appeal by Ananda. Ananda actually feel very strongly that the Buddha should agree to all this. So these were the pertinent point and important consideration that Sakyamuni Buddha take into consideration before he make the final decision. So this is a bit of the background history. So hopefully with this, you all can understand better. Because in the Mahayana tradition, all this were not mentioned. Okay, we go back to the sharing. We will go back to that page. Okay. Bhikkhu has three meanings. The first meaning is the bhikkhu is a mendicant. The second meaning is frightener of Mara. And third one is destroyer of evil. So bhikkhuni also has these three meanings. They are the inner two assembly, the two inner assembly, the Buddha's retinue and assembly which practices the Dhamma. Means they are full-time ordained monks and nuns. As to the second set of four assembly, the first, the initiatory assembly, understands the Buddha's purpose. Their causal affinity have already matured, so that they initiate through their question the Buddha's explanation of point of doctrines or the teaching. They have wisdom and the ability to devise provisional methods. That is the wisdom to set up clever expedient devices. They are able to perceive the potential of beings present and to know the appropriate time a given Dhamma should be spoken. Then they take the initiative and ask the Buddha to speak the Dhamma, acting as the initiatory assembly. The second is the interlocutory assembly. These are the one whom the Buddha directly addressed in speaking the Dhamma. For example, the Vajra Sutra or the Diamond Sutra. Subhati is the interlocutory assembly. In the Amitabha Sutta, Sariputta is the interlocutor, along with all the other great bodhisattvas and great arhats. The other sutra all have their interlocutory assembly as well. The Surangama Sutta, for example, Ananda is the interlocutor, along with the 25 sages. The third is the influential assembly. Those in this assembly already understand the Buddha Dhamma, and they do not necessarily need to hear the teaching again, hear it preached. These great bodhisattvas have already frequently heard the Buddha speak Dhamma, and they still come to support the Dhamma assembly and act as an influence on the others who see them and think the great bodhisattva have come to hear the sutta. So they too delight in listening. Without the great bodhisattvas in the audience, they might have thought of disbelief. Nobody come to listen to the sutta. They might think probably the sutta the Buddha speaks are meaningless or not so important. But when the great bodhisattvas or mahasattva come to hear the suttas, the arhats, the bhikkhu, the bhikkhuni, the upasika, the upasakas, and the upasikas see them and think, the great bodhisattvas have come. Their hearts grow faithful and sincere. They stare unblinkingly. Their spirit are in rapt attention, and they clean out their tears and listen respectfully. Their eyes don't turn away. Their spirit are fixed attentively, and they listen to the Buddha preach the Dhamma as if they had just washed their ears clean with the utmost reverence. Why? Because they have been influenced by the influential assembly, which has secretly aided them in bringing forth the resolve to listen. The fourth is assembly which creates affinity. They feel that they have no Dhamma affinity with people to speak of, and so they go to the Dhamma assembly to create them. What is meant by creating affinity? In America, there are few Dhamma assemblies, but in China, sutras are lectured in many Dhamma assemblies. People will buy candy and give each members of the audience perhaps 3 pieces or 5 pieces, dividing it between them, and then they all eat candy. Or they may buy cookies for everyone. First they offer them to the Buddha, next to the Dhamma, then to the Sangha. They save some for everyone, giving it to them in order to create affinity. Others buy fruits and other things which people like to eat in order to establish this connection. So in our Chinese dialect, we call this qiyuan or qiyuan. So qiyuan is in Mandarin, cultivating affinity. And of course, in the dialect is Kietian, in Hokkien. Why do they wish to create affinity? This one is a very important understanding. That's why you must have affinity, the triple gem. Otherwise, this teaching is not easy to come out. It is because they feel they have no affinity with people. They don't get along with their relatives and their friends. Don't care for them. Nobody likes them at all. In fact, and so they want to create affinity with others by giving them food or small gift. So this one is Xuan Huo's version, but the actual one is different. Qiyuan is not like that. So Qiyuan means You want to cultivate affinity with people, and the best way is to offerings, giving, materialistic giving, or communication, and speak nice words, then be gentle, be courteous, be friendly, and be sincere. So all these are the virtues that can lead to affinity with cultivator of the way with the triple gem. Then also, like in the Chinese tradition, during Chinese New Year time, they give gifts. They exchange gifts between friends, family members, and others. Then they also make it a tradition to give ang pao. That's why they always say, so I want to make offering to you to create Dhamma affinity, karmic affinity. And sometimes, of course, they accompany the giving of ang pao with some good saying, with good wishes. Normally, the elders will give to the unmarried, the younger. But it's also a tradition for parents to give to children, and grandchildren, etc. Then it's also a tradition for married couple to give ang pao to parents, especially when they are old. So all these are established traditions where you create affinity with each other. And if they are cultivated all the way, you create affinity with Triple Gem by making offerings to the Sangha, to the temple, to way places that receive this type of offering. So sometimes it can be made as offering in support of temple activities, the monk and nuns' requisite or needs, then the maintenance of temple facilities, the payment of their utility bills, their quick rent, their assessment rent, etc. Then also the upkeep. Upkeep means repair, maintenance. And also at the same time, renovation or improvement, extension. So all this are activity that can give rise to fundraising to create affinity. So this particular understanding of Qiyuan, or creating affinity, Dhamma affinity with the Triple Gem and with fellow living beings, are very important. In fact, the Buddha did mention, if you really want to become enlightened, you must have Dhamma friends, Dhamma friend. So you must make it a point to create affinity with Dhamma practitioners, the monks, the nuns, and cultivators, means upasika, upasaka, and cultivators of the way. So in this way, you can create affinity, yanfen, so that in future, when there are causes and conditions, you can connect to them, to the Triple Gem and other things, because like all of us know, the world is very small. Somehow you mean. So this is the understanding. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So I will continue. Why do they wish to create affinity? It's because, finish already. Some give money in China. The audience consists mainly of those who have left home, not lay people. The lay people may buy cloth and other necessities to present as offering. We call it requisite, things that the monk or the nuns need. To those who have left home, the tying of cloth are normally the ropes, to make the ropes and all those things. This is the assembly which creates affinity with those in the Dhamma assembly, the last of the four assembly of disciples. At that time, the world honored one having been circumambulated by the four assembly. In the Dhamma flower assembly, the four assembly was present in its entirety. What is meant by circumambulated? In Chinese, it is made up of two words, which means to encircle and to wind around. It means to walk around something in a circle, as we did when we installed the Buddha image and then walk around it, reciting Namo Amitabha Buddha. In Buddhism, as a matter of ceremony, one circumambulate the Buddha three times, keeping the Buddha to one's right, in other words, in a clockwise circle. And after this, everyone should remember that when we have a gathering, we should stand in line and progress clockwise in an orderly fashion when serving ourselves lunch. If everyone goes in opposite direction, collision may occur and everyone will feel crowded and pushed. If everyone proceed clockwise in an orderly fashion, no one will bump heads. After the Buddha realized Buddhahood, people did not know how to pay reverence to him. So then some gods from the five pure dwelling heavens, means the pure abode, transform into people and appear before the Buddha. They circumambulated him three times to the right and bow in worship, retreated to one side, and then sat down in order to serve as an example to show the humans how to properly worship the Buddha. This is the meaning of circumambulate. Presented with offering, honored, venerated, and praised. Not only did they circumambulate the Buddha, and bow before him, but they also make offerings to him. So many people, what did they give him? They present him with an offering of a true respectful heart. So it is said, honored, venerated. Honor means they put their five limbs, knees, elbow, and forehead on the ground, prostrating themselves in worship. Actually, this word worship is not appropriate here. It should be reverential salutation, out of respect, love, and understanding. You develop the reverential salutation. In Buddhism, bowing in this way is the highest form of paying respect. See, it's a reverential salutation. They venerated the Buddha and they also praise him. We are praising the Buddha when we recite suttas or verses. As for example, the verse in praise of Amitabha Buddha, which begins, Amitabha's body is the color of gold. The splendor of his hallmark has no peer. Another verse goes, in the heavens and below, there is no one like the Buddha. In the worlds of the ten directions, he is without equal. I have seen everything in the world that there is to be seen, and there is nothing in it that compares with the Buddha. All the praises of the Buddha, the world honored one, lauding him as most venerable, honored, and esteemed, are spoken to praise and laud him. To say a few more words about creating affinity is extremely important to do so. For if you do not, no matter how well intended you are towards someone, they will be displeased with you. Why is this? Because no affinity exists between you. Long ago, there was an extremely intelligent Dhamma master who could memorize a sutta after simply reading them once. He was not as dull-witted as I am. I have to read them 3 times before I can remember them. He could remember them after the first reading. He could also lecture on all the sutta. He did it so well that because of his unobstructed eloquence, even the gods came to hear him. However, although the gods came, no people came to hear him. Why did the god attend? Because his lecture was just too wonderful. Why didn't any people show up? Because he simply has no affinity with people. Since he was wise, he understood the reason, the working of cause and effect behind it. And he went to live in the mountain. He bought a lot of rice and sat in the mountain and fed the birds. From morning till night, he recited the Great Compassionate Mantra and the Surangama Sutta over the rice and contemplated all the birds thinking. All the birds who ate my rice shall in the next life become people, casting off their animal body. He continued to spend his days feeding all the birds on the mountain, and the birds spread the words among themselves that there was food. The news passed down the great wine, and soon they came in great flock to eat the rice. He did this for 20 years, and then went back down the mountain and began lecturing the sutta again. This time, things were entirely different. The young people in the area flocked to listen to his lectures. Not only did they listen, but they were extremely respectful for him and honored him with 5-point prostration. They were obedient and did exactly as they were told, completely faithful to him. And where did the young people come from? They were the birds who had cast away their bird bodies and become humans. Because they had been nourished by the Dhamma Master's Dhamma food and obtained such benefit as people, they did not forget the kindness he had shown them and came to support him. Here, we have 3 masters, 4 including myself. And when I lecture, I don't care if anyone listens or not. But in the future, if no one comes to listen to your lecture, you can go feed the bird. After you have feed them, there will be plenty of people to listen to you. Does the Dhamma Master create the affinity in the birds? When the birds became people, they came to listen to the Buddha Dhamma. So everyone should pay attention to this point and seek to create affinity with everyone. This is why you should not lose your temper or rage at people. If you do that, you will have no affinity with them, and you will turn into loner Dhamma Master. No one will believe in you, and wherever you go, no one will make offering to you. In the future, you may even starve to death, but it's not for sure. Today, I will explain making offering. Offering should be made with a true, sincere heart. Means with a true heart, with a sincere, with true, sincere heart. What is a true, sincere heart? With a true heart, you give up that which you cannot give up. That's the true heart. It means giving up that which you love most. And you can renounce it. That's the true heart. What is a sincere heart? A sincere heart is an unscattered heart. If a sincere heart When you do something, you do it straightforwardly, with great earnestness. It also means to turn your thought to one, to have a single heart. No two hearts when making offering. Long ago, there was a beggar who saw that everyone make offering to the Triple Gem in order to foster merit and virtue. He thought that although he didn't have much money, he would use all the money he had to buy a pint of oil and present it as an offering to the permanent dwelling, the temple, the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. The abbot of the temple had attained the penetration of heavenly eye, and when the beggar arrived at the temple gate, the abbot was there to greet him. He escorted him to the temple, invited him to his own quarters, and was most attentive to him. He even asked him to stay for lunch. Not long after that, another man who was very rich sent a, what is that word? Law of oil, about 200 or 300 pounds. Several hundred times the amount of the beggar had given as offering to the Triple Gem. However, the abbot merely sent the guest prefect to greet him and do not go himself. The monk and novice did not understand his action and asked him, "Why did you go to escort a poor beggar who gave only a pint of oil and ask him to your own quarters to eat lunch? And then when someone else sent 300 pints, 300 times the beggar's gift, you did not attend to him yourself?" We are quite puzzled about this and would ask you, Abbot, please do explain. The abbot said, "You don't understand. The poor man who gave one pint as an offering use all the money he had to buy. Would you say he was sincere or not? The one who bought 300 pints was wealthy. He not only could have bought 300 pints, but 30,000 pints or even more. And so for him, the offering was nothing special at all. The poor man with a true heart renounced that which is difficult to renounce. He exhausted his entire worldly resources to make the offering. If he were not a great master, Dharma protector, could he have done something like that? That is why I went to greet him and invite him to lunch. The other man was terribly wealthy and his gift of 300 pounds was just like one hair from my cows. Why should I have looked after him?" From this, we can see that in making offerings to the Triple Gem, we must renounce what is hard to renounce and give what is hard to give. Then the merits and virtue accrue is great. Those who are wealthy did not gain their wealth in this present life only, because in previous life they were able to renounce that which is hard to renounce and do what is hard to do. They are wealthy in this present life." This is what the abbot said to the novice and monk by way of explanation. And after that, they understood the principle that when making offering to the Triple Gem, one must use a sincere and true heart. Honored means one honors with the body and the mind. It should not be that the body honors, but mind does not. Nor should it be that the mind honor, but the body does not. Both the body and mind should honor within and without, a unity. That is what is meant by honor. Venerated means not to treat with disrespect. Praise means to lawn the Buddha with verses. 10 millions of them, telling how rare the Buddha is. The next part of the sutra is for the sake of the Bodhisattva, spoke a great Vahika sutra named the Limitless Principles, a Dhamma of instructing Bodhisattva of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. So this next part of the sutra is quite interesting. You go through the outline. Manifestation of potence. The six potence of this whole system, followed by the potence of speaking Dhamma. Okay, this one we will leave it for our next class, which is the coming Thursday. Yeah? So for the moment, I think we will end our today's sharing. Here is almost 9:41. Yeah? So we will now go on to the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and also how to apply this Dhamma. And the other third possibility is you can share anything that you have come across in your cultivation so that you can expand on the understanding of the mind daily life, so that you know how to actually make full use of the Dhamma to live your life in accordance. Then when you see the Dhamma in the midst of life, that is the best. Or you come across anything that can maybe give rise to understanding, that will be good to share. And even need me to help you understand better, you can ask whatever request, whatever you want to know or develop as understanding, then I can share it with you.
Today's subject on affinity to me is a very important subject,
Brother. Yes, very good.
To me, first thing is our karmic affinity. Which is of course our family. And which to me plays so much an important part of our lives. So this one is, as I said, being karmic. In our present life, now knowing the Dharma, it is so important that we cultivate great virtues and blessings. So that all our future lives, we hope to get a good life with good family, friends, and all our Dharma teachers too. Okay, and the other thing is like a Dharma affinity. That may we meet the right teachers and Dharma friends and cultivator. For that, I would like to say much gratitude to Brother Teo, who has helped me so much to see the Dharma and walk the right path to be what I am now. Very grateful, Brother Teo. Also to all my other teachers, which from the distant past until now. And the affinity with great beings, the Bodhisattvas, the Buddhas, which have kept the sasana. For this, we are also very grateful that we are able to be still in the Buddha sasana to meet the right and true Dharma, so that we can continue with our cultivation. How to say? To learn,
To cultivate and to develop understanding.
To understand, use our this life to further progress in our cultivation.
To establish firmly each and every one's path on the Dhamma. So that in future your coming will be easier. Then you won't get lost. Then the understanding will be there.
Yeah, but you'll not go round and round.
20,
30 years without having to meet the right teachers and also to meet up with the true Dharma.
Not easy.
That is so tragic, I would say.
Yeah. Very true.
And also the story where the Dharma master was have such great understanding when he does not have any people who come to listen.
Yeah, that's why you need affinity for a lot of things. You have to cultivate causes and conditions. Affinity,
I think this is a great lesson. I feel that it has a lot of meaning for me. I must learn to see beyond what is happening now, and may I learn to see this and use the whatever is happening in my life to create good affinities. You know, like this person, he doesn't get angry or whatever, and he wisely retreated to the mountains, you know.
And feed the birds.
He made the aspiration. That's the wonderful part of it, don't you?
That's why he didn't get angry, unhappy, based the ego no more. He understood the Dhamma is about affinity. If people don't come, it's Bo Yen, they call it Bo Yen.
And especially he can see the causes and effects so
clearly
he can create this type of affinity for future students and all that. Such a wise master, Bertie.
Correct. True. That's why cultivators of the way, they understand the nature's law that governs life and existence very clearly. And they know how to input the causes and conditions to cause things to arise. That's why that wisdom will be with the cultivator of the way. That's why a lot of the things that I share with you all, by asking forgiveness and all those things, then creating affinity with Triple Gem, all the great beings and all things, and making of the Bodhisattva, is all based on my nature's understanding of nature's law that operate in the past. Then this nature of mind has already stabilized all this understanding, established. That's why this life, when it comes, this is the missing parcel that Maitreya Buddha want me to actually share with the world. 请你把正法传下去, he said. Share means to him is to pass down this understanding so that the world will have this understanding. The year to go area. The moment I saw that in the dream and I heard that before I wake up, I knew what the message was. And I said, no problem. I said, you are the Samasambuddha to be. I said, you don't need to be so courteous, so happy. Like, 请你, means he used the word, please, please. So I said, you just have to instruct. And my nature will be too happy or glad to fulfill that wish. So all this understanding is there. That's why at that time I already knew what I have developed as understanding the world don't have. Then the other one is the Bodhisattva way to catch on the training to establish cultivator only on the cultivation. If you do this wholeheartedly, sincerely, with faith and diligently over a period of time, following the Bodhisattva vow format and guidance that I've given you, your future cultivation will all be taken care of. You will be firmly established. Then you won't get lost. All the right view, everything, asking for forgiveness, repentance, then all the various type of miscellaneous vows and other understanding, they are all there. And these are the most important pointers that you need for you to progress and to move. Karmic obstruction need to be understood and broken through understanding. Then affinity between being constantly thank them with faith, with gratitude, then continue to request their blessing, protection and guidance. So all these are very important understanding and very beautiful. That's why when it comes to cultivation, it's not just practicing, cultivating, getting the Dhamma understood. It's more than that. It's understanding the nature's law, cause and effect, how affinity comes to be, how Dhamma comes to be, how all these things unfold. Especially the law of dependent origination, Patijasamuppanna, leading to the understanding of the law of karma. The law of karma is very powerful. Basically, it's law of mind. From Patijasamuppanna, it encompasses karma, everything. Then law of truth, Dhamma Niyama. That's like the three right view. Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. They are very powerful, very important. But these are spiritual laws that you have to understand. You have to cultivate until you have the appropriate right view. Right view with regards to these three spiritual laws is utmost important. And of course, the other two, physical law, scientific law, they are also important to the conditioned world, to the human mind. That's why the Buddha taught the five pancha niyamas, the five universal order. He called them the universal order. When you understand this, you understand the operation of the whole universe, like the secret of life. Then from there, you can start your cultivation. That's why Noble Eightfold Path start with right view. Right view are very powerful, the pancha niyamas. So these are all very important understanding. Sadhu to you, PJ, for your ability to comprehend all this and appreciate all this, and your faith is going to be stronger. Sadhu.
I just keep on listening only because, you know, I've got nothing to to say, because I don't know whether, you know, it's correct. I understand that every day, your daily activities, this is part of Dhamma.
Dhamma.
You have to be aware. So I thought earlier, when I didn't join Brother Teo's class, I thought just meditation. So then I don't understand. As I listen on now, I'm beginning to understand. The daily life, the whatever you encounter, that is also, you have to, you know, take those things, you know, to know lah, you know.
Without awareness, you cannot understand. You have to be aware.
I don't understand. Then I thought meditation is also, when you do formal meditation, you contemplate, you investigate, you reflect back. But then after I hear you say no, that is when you contemplate, is when you are out from your
formal meditation.
Yeah. Now only I understand, you see.
Sorry.
Because I listen, you know, catching lah. I mean, bit by bit. You know, then I put into practice. So now, you know, but normally you forget lah. You will be angry first, and then you realize, you know, you haven't. So I'm trying to, you know.
No problem. Yeah.
So as I listen now, only I get to understand. You know,
yes,
no
you
doubt I'm a Buddhist
from on your whatever understanding. At the moment, it is very good. Basically, after you listen, you start to get a few pointer they are important for cultivation. So what you need to do is you remember when we have our annual retreat, it is hopefully this year if they can allow us to have it, we may request for the appropriate date. I leave it to Sri An Brahmasri Day or so let them decide. If the retreat is on, you can make it. It will help you a lot. You will learn a lot. And you will understand with different faith and understanding after that. But the retreat, you spend enough time. Normally it's about 9 days, four days. So from that retreat, I will go through the Heart Sutta book. Then I will add in whatever that is appropriate. Then through the sharing, the new people also will develop a lot of good understanding. So remember.
Okay, I will.
Do you have any question?
At the moment, I don't have any question now.
Because
sometimes I always think of myself, because now I'm having a pain, aches, you know, constantly, like the pain is constantly, you know, when I get up, I will have the pain already. So I only,
which part,
you know,
of your body?
My leg, you know, the near the ankle there, and then my lower back, you know. I went for checkup.
Are you doing the sitting on the floor?
Now I don't. I sit on the chair
or a stool or anything that is comfortable. Don't have to cross your leg. We are at your age. It's not advisable because unless you have trained them since young, it's not advisable. Then you have to take care of your health. You have to be careful when you go upstairs.
Every morning I do some yoga, stretching, exercise. I will sit on the floor because I thought I need some energy, you know, so that I can, when I meditate,
within your capacity, do not overstretch it or hurt it or harm it. Because a lot of people who, when they do a yoga or what, they tend to overexert. I've heard a lot of cases where it hurts their ankle, it hurts their knee. And other body. Sometimes they sprain their back too.
I do the exercise, I still have the pain. You know, with the pain, I also do, because if I don't stretch, I feel it's more painful, you know. So I just bear with it, you know, because
You have to find out on your own, because it's your body. It is sickness that can be cured by going for the physio or whatever, then you should consult doctors or people.
The doctor asked me to do an operation, you know, just lift up the spine. That I think I don't want, I'm scared, because now I'm also coughing, you know. So the coughing, the whole day, certain times I will cough a lot.
Do you have a health checkup? Are you a government servant?
No, I'm not a government
servant. Oh, you're not. Your husband?
Yeah. My husband also is not a government servant.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, you can go to... Oh, no problem. You are already how old?
66.
Oh, no problem. Like that, you can go to any hospital. You are considered senior citizen, like a retiree. Don't charge you, actually. They only charge you for the first visit or what. Must have a proper health checkout. You say you cough very often.
Your lungs,
you have to go for a checkout. they can do an X-ray now with the CT scan, and they know what is happening when actually.
I know about myself, my lungs, because I had pneumonia, and I had TB, you know. So there's a scar. So doctor say I will cough, you know. So he says because already hardening the the lower part has already hardened. So
you need to find out for yourself, right? Because it's your own physical body, your own health. You need to really attend to it. You better attend it. From the way you describe and with your age, you are not really that old. But from the way you describe, you are like very old. So all this will start to deteriorate further if you don't take action early.
I have been going. So, you know, even
going is one thing. Be focused to resolve it is another thing. Yes, you must consult people who has gone through this type of illness or what. Then check with sound it out to your friends, your colleague or what, whether they have come across anybody with such similar sickness or condition. Then they can advise you. Then people can actually introduce you to good maybe doctors or Chinese or whatever that useful. Then try your very best to develop understanding. Do not be conditioned by your old thinking. Oh, I know what is happening to me, but based on what you describe, you are not doing well. You seem to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, I know.
But don't worry, because like the Buddha said, the physical body is of the nature to grow old.
Yeah.
To be wounded, to have situation. But if you know how to take care, it will last you longer.
Yeah.
Then you will have better condition to cultivate, to live life and other things. So develop the understanding, love yourself more, whatever that need to, you need to spend, you can afford.
Yeah.
You try,
because, I try,
why keeping a lot of money?
Because Alostar, there's no much facilities, you know.
That's why you must come down. That's why Ponchi, they go Penang, they go Piano, then like Brother Kang, I think you know him, Kang Bangkok.
Kang Bangkok. Is he a teacher?
Yeah, teacher also. My physics teacher,
I think he's staying somewhere near Madam Chi's
family. Because they are very close family friends. They are very close family friends. Then Brother Kang, so he came down to KL, IJN, but they were government servant, husband and wife. So he actually, last time, he also had his heart problem. Then he couldn't do the NGO, so because of complication. But then later on, he was told by the doctor, he has to do a bypass. So at that time, the bypass was more dangerous. So he waited for many years and didn't make the decision. But finally, he talked to me, spoke to me, then I gave him some advice, which he actually had faith in. Then he decided to go for it, and he recovered. So all this is something that you can do if you are able to. Like the Dhamma session today, we learned establish affinity, not only Dhamma affinity, but also karmic affinity, like Piki say, have friends who can help you. Yang kyo kui lin, in Hokkien.
Kui jin,
So you must have this type of, that's why if you have helped people before, then people will help you. Then you are friendly, kind, then you will have good friends, you will have sincere friends who are willing to talk to you, help you, and other things.
Okay, thank you, Brother.
Don't worry, so I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Brother.
You take care.
Thank you, Sister PG.
PG,
for nominating me.
Nominating you, yeah. So it's nice to listen from you direct. So I don't blame you because you are new and there's a lot of things you haven't understood because. Your past is different. You are not exposed to the truth.
Yeah, I'm not exposed to that.
So you have to find out yourself. If once she is around, you can talk to her more and she can guide you. Yes, she has quite a good grasp of my teaching. She has been following me for quite long.
She's in Penang now.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you so much for your sharing and condition. Thank you.
So recently, thank you for your advice to always stay in the middle path.
Yeah.
Okay. So very fast for this time round, the energy has left already. So the last week, Sunday already, is everything is been resolved. And
very good.
I undertaken the vow with in front of Buddhas and sincerely ask for forgiveness and everything.
That was very important. You must do.
The energy, although once it left, the energy shrunk back. You know, then it and go down to a very low point. The energy. Time period. I rested for two, three days. Okay, the energy pick up back, and you know it's from one dimension. It was a lot of concentration energy to no energy at all. I do have jewelry classes. I make jewelry where I build up a bit of the concentration. I slowly build up again to the center part, which today the energy was getting back much more to the center.
Can I ask you one question? Just now you say you were doing what? Jewelry. What is it?
Make worries and then slow down and focus.
What you call it?
Jewelry classes.
Jewelry classes. How does it sound?
Silversmithing. Making jewelry, silver.
Oh, you attend their classes.
Silversmithing. Yeah.
Yeah, but that one is not meditation. Is it meditation?
It's not meditation. But it helped me to calm down and focus and slow down, okay? And it gives me back some concentration, to slow down and build up a bit concentration. Yes, and today...
Can I ask you another question, Jeffrey, before you continue? Actually, all along, your problem is concentration energy, your focusing, your one-pointedness, and your focus concentration that brings about all those problems to you through concentration energy field. Then you mentioned you try to go to middle path. Actually, what I mean is different. It's not the so-called middle path that other people teach you. What I want you to understand is the awareness-based meditation is not the energy field. Energy field will lead you astray and give you a lot of problems because you have to start with basic morality, sila. You have to keep your precept. From precept, then your mind can have enough of the spiritual benefits. Because three things will grow when you develop precept.
Sorry, Brother Teo, can I interrupt? From this on the precept part, okay, earlier on, you know, the energy field, I mean, has directed me to practice to abide for the sila on the precept, which I very diligent, okay, wholeheartedly abide to that. Which
okay.
Why until today, I think because of the precept and the affinity, I mean, the system.
Do you know how the precept can help you or not?
I don't know the precept.
That's why I will explain to you. Because you, just now I was about to speak on that already, but you want to interrupt and say something. So now I want to remind you, because you don't seem to understand what is being shared with you in a clear manner. You think you know, then you do a little bit of adjustment, then you recover, you become less tormented by the energy field and all those things. Then you have more peace and you call that equanimity. That is not equanimity, but at least it's better than get stuck in energy field. So the reason why the Buddha said you must keep the precept is because precept is the basis of cultivation. That's why under the chanting, you attend Theravada tradition, isn't it?
Yes.
You heard of the chanting or not? Silena sukanting yanti. Silena boga sampadan. Silena nibunting yanti. Tasma sila visoti. You heard of this or not?
I heard before.
You know the meaning or not?
No.
That's why you have problem. Silena sukanting yanti means when you keep your sila, the benefits that come with it is you will have this happiness or joy. That's why sukanting yanti, sukang. So sila is the basis for spiritual happiness. It's the mind that has joy, that has sukhang, that is a meditative state, peaceful, joyful. Then silena bhoga sampadan. Sila, when you have sila, you will have spiritual, what they call benefits. This is the basis to receive spiritual teachings and also spiritual cultivation, understanding, and all those things. The reason being, if you keep your precept, your mind become peaceful. You don't break precept, then the mental hindrance will be gone. So when the mental hindrance is gone, you will develop sati or mindfulness. That's why you become peaceful. You have sukhang. Then when you become peaceful, your mind becomes tranquil, the way. That's how that nibbuntiyanti, the third one, silena nibbuntiyanti, this is the basis for your mind to be very peaceful and very calm. Then when you keep your precept, you tend to go to the temple to renew your precepts or to request for the renewal of precepts. Then when you do that, you pay respect, the 10 meritorious action will be done because you listen to the mind reading. Then you make offering to the Sangha. Then in return, the monk will give you blessings, protection. He will invoke power of merits for your causes and conditions to be protected by the Dhamma protectors, the Devas, the Triple Gem. And at the same time, he will share some Dhamma understanding with you. That's why keeping precept has these three very important benefits. So if you keep this precept, the Buddha say, these five precepts, then you will receive all these spiritual benefits. Peacefulness of mind, sukhang, spiritual health. So all this is to develop a mind that can go into awareness, peace, meditation. Yeah, when you have sukhang and peace, then you have the spiritual realm, you will develop spiritual understanding, and your mind becomes different. Your mind can settle down. That's why samadhi will keep it. If you don't keep reset, you will have all the things that will trouble you. Like you kill somebody, you harm somebody, you deceive, you cheat, commit sexual sin. You will have a lot of problems with life. You will have fear, worry, anxiety. You scared people come after you and take revenge. You scared police case. You scared when your spouse comes to know what happened. Then when you lie, deceive, and cheat and misappropriate things, you can be charged for CBT. And your own family member will never forgive you. You do things that are very unethical and very negative. Then when you start to lie, cheat, nobody trusts you. Well, you lose your honor, your sincerity. Then when you partake intoxicant, drink until your mental state becomes very down, then you will lose your ability to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful. Then you become heedless. Then you can violate all the four, the first four precepts. And because of that, you cannot sit down to really develop awareness-based meditation to meditate. Yet the moment you want to meditate, the thought will come, the fear will come, the insecurity will come. And all this, fear, worry, anxiety, are mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you go and do energy field. You focus, you concentrate, you can keep all those thoughts like suppressed. It cannot arise. But this will lead you into energy field and create complications. Because without the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, you will play with the energy field, you will get trouble by your coming past, by your coming friction, and also by your whatever, what they call the maras. There are certain type of beings called maras that attack people who do concentration, energy field. That's why the Mahayana, they are very aware of this. Some they thought because they think the five panjan, so they tend to like abstain from the five panjan because they thought that one attract the mara. But actually not so much of that. It's your moral value. It's your sila. If your sila is not there, samadhi cannot kick in. As I with sila, your mind has the causes and conditions to go into samadhi. And our samadhi is not one-pointedness, not concentration, not exhaustion. We can do all this. That's why I say relax, maintain awareness, and free your energy.
Yes.
Let it disperse. And the awareness is the basis of meditation. Without awareness, you cannot understand the Dhamma, the teaching, and you will be caught most of the time. So hopefully today you can develop the understanding. Jeffrey?
Okay, sadhu.
Sadhu. Okay, thank you.
Understand much more.
Good. So the focus should be relaxed, maintain awareness and silent. Then develop the peace within. If the energy come, relax into it. Disperse it. No need to know, no need to think. Don't get yourself gullible again, attracted to those things again. And it will trap you again. It will cause you a lot of suffering and misery, which you already experienced in your own words, you told me. So all this, you have to be very careful. Use the mind, if I read out what you sent to me for sharing with Kayameta. Yes. Okay for you?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I will read out. I open your WhatsApp. Okay, this one is useful, I think, for people who do energy appeal. Just a few. So you wrote to me on the 20th of March. You said, "Dear friend, I'm Jeffrey Wong here. For your information, my phone. Oh, this one, your phone has been hacked. One, never mind. This one I sort out for you already. Then after that, I send you the 6 page here. Like from Sutta, lesson 36 about energy field. You listen, then you say sadhu. Then you say, from the week until now, I try my very best to stay in a balanced mind. Yeah? Again, you think that is equanimity. Initially, I was not accustomed to the overly serene and calm state. The very first thing I observed was that my lungs breathing went back to self-sustaining flow, means become natural again. A more subtle breath, the spine slowly adjusts back in straight verticality. Seems the body is healing itself, rehealing itself. Those earlier virus symptoms that disturbed you earlier began to subside very fast, tremendously, use the word, on their own. Still have thought processes going on, going around your mind, but not much that caused uneasiness like before. The very moment when my mindfulness weakened and began to sink back into the excess mode, flowing into apana samadhi, I was fully aware and immediately could remain to remind yourself to come back into the middle way. It's actually not the middle way, it's to maintain awareness and don't allow the energy to develop. Then I began to notice more when I started to do normal chores, like washing, cleaning, mopping, holding towel. Everything seems to flow on its own towards doing it just in the balanced way without the need to exert much effort. This is good. This is daily mindfulness, but you have to continue with it until it stabilizes. Unlike last time when you are in apana samadhi, yes, no doubt everything was so perfectly to the dot, but somehow your body starts to wear out from much energy force. Every time you like literally exhausted burnout. That is the reason why you have to avoid energy field. Then during eating, you observe when you want to eat extra, the mind will automatically remind you about the okay. So you have to be careful. This one is suppression. When the thought reminds you, then you don't want to eat, but the urge is still there, the craving is still there. You haven't rooted it out. So middle way is not to be understood in this way. This is what other people teach you, maybe you heard from other monks or whoever. So middle way is to develop the wisdom to transcend duality. Duality means don't go extreme. Like the Buddha said, under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he said, you as practitioner, cultivator, we should avoid the two extremes. What are the two extremes? The first extreme is sensual desire of the senses, like craving for food and all those things. That one, you should avoid. And self-mortification, torturing yourself unnecessarily, creating all the suffering, thinking that by suffering more, your karma will be less, and finally no more karma, no more suffering, then you will become enlightened. It's not like that. The Buddha said, avoid this too. So here the middle path has two meanings. One is to avoid the two extremes, sensual indulgence and self-mortification. Second one is to transcend duality. This middle way in the sense that not too much, not too little. Like your body needs food to sustain itself. So eat, but don't overeat to cause problem. Just because you like it, then you keep on eating at the expense of what your body can maybe accept. So if you go beyond the normal limits, then it can cause other problems, diabetic, obesity, and other things. That's why we have to know our body. We have to understand the need and the craving. When there are good food, you can have it, no problem. It's not a craving if you understand. Understand means if there is condition for you to receive good food, by all means, have it, but don't overeat. Understand? Then when there is no condition, just let things be. Also, you are not miserable. And this is understanding, not suppression. The other one is suppression. The thought will come and tell you, oh, you must go back to middle path. Who is telling you all this? The thought. But there is no understanding behind it. You suppress. You try not to overeat or whatever. So all this is like understanding that you can develop through proper contemplation, through proper awareness of your own physical body. When you are aware of your own physical body condition, you will know. When I am hungry, I eat. I will go and look for food, I eat. But when I am not hungry, I may not eat. Sometimes I skip my meal or I take something very light, because the body will tell me. And every time I overeat, I know it's going to be bad. Even good food. Normally, people who know me, like Kayamita, they know Brother Phil like to order a lot of things, but he eats very little. He takes a bit here and there, that's it, finished. Then after that, you ask him to eat, or something, you want to eat, he says, enough, thank you. So that is the understanding. Hopefully, this one will help. Then I read on. Then you say, recently, as what you said, the psychic energy field or force that throw you out with volitioning of your mind by the hacker issues, you were very well aware, like what you shared with Elsie the other day. I tried my very best mindful to accept them as they are. So this one again is a good contemplation, but you have to develop the understanding of the deep meaning. Accept them as they are, the meaning is very deep. You must have understanding of the meaning behind. Where a lot of people say, okay lah, accept lah, what to do? That is the wrong way. That is, the anger is still there. But you were taught, accept. So you say, accept lah. But by the way you react, your mindfulness is not there, you're not sensitive, you still don't understand that there is still anger, unhappiness. Accept means you understand he is the way he is. Conditions are that, things will and that. The world is the world. Everything within this condition will happen based on causes and conditions. When the causes and condition is such, things will go that way. It cannot be otherwise. That's why all this demand the mind that is mindful, aware, and develop the understanding of the teaching, the insight into the phenomena, to realizing the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. It's not just a knowledge. A knowledge is limited. It cannot free you. Most of the time, it will be like suppressing the emotion. So this one, I just make a note. Then you continue, you say, however, there were times you got stuck back towards the hacker issue and your mind began to intellectualize, strategize how to fight back. You immediately were now able to recognize that thought process and remind yourself to be in the state of equanimity, or you use the word Vipeka and not to be sucked back into the energy flow or energy field. There's apana samadhi that leads to one-pointedness energy field. So at least your thought remind you means you have learned something. But the real seeing of the mind is through awareness, when the energy about to build up or what relax into it and maintain awareness, then find out what happened. If you relax and maintain awareness, no matter how strong and powerful the energy is, it will disperse.
Okay.
It will not cause you any problem. So that is awareness. Awareness means don't try to know, don't fight it, don't resist it, don't do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. Then finally, you say you are able to be aware of your action, which is very good, and immediately correct them immediately. Example was when I raised my voice towards my partner due to irritation. This is good. At least you develop awareness. So this is the beginning. The actual mindfulness and awareness that develops sensitivity is much, much more refined than this. But this is not bad, a good beginning. Then you see, I was aware of my emotion state and immediately changed back the tone of voice. So this is an improvement, but it's still the thought telling you, understand? It's not the Dhamma, the Universal Dhamma. When the Dhamma surface is different, because you know these are conditioned state of mind. The mind has habitual tendency, your own way, which you actually immediately react. That's why all these are not easy to root out. We call it habitual tendency. You need to have mindfulness awareness to stay with it and let it subside. Then you realize anger is not you. Emotion is not you, they are dependent originating, perceiving, arising. Then you have wrong view, habitual tendency, they arise. So you have to strengthen your view. That's why you have to meditate to strengthen your view, to the understanding, so that in future when a similar situation arises, you will not create the unnecessary reaction anymore. Then you reply, sadhu, 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 thank you for your kind guidance. So this is good, sadhu to you. Okay. Thank you, Jeffrey. So hopefully you can learn from today's recording, it will help you.